while it wasn't kind of the immediate love at first sight, I was definitely very taken with her and very interested.
I got the feeling that Ken didn't even look at me. So when he actually asked me to go for a coffee, I nearly didn't go.
I used to say I knew exactly what I wanted. I used to say that I had everything figured out. But then you came and turned my world upside down. Now I don't know what to say.
She kind of caught my eye and I thought, well, she's, I like her hair. I like what she's wearing. That was
very
the initial
deep
attraction.
Everybody smiled when they were on Stephen. And me included. What he looked like was nice too, but it was more about...
That's the first time she's admitted that.
I used to know all of the plans I had perfected. I used to know the way my life was supposed to be. But don't you know that I had to reconsider when you came along the way?
I knew, yeah, this is a woman I could see myself spending the rest of my life with. But obviously I could never make that aware to my future wife straight away. It would have been very cheeky of me.
Whoa, like this life together is going to be exciting. There'll be challenges, but...
Games up, it all went out the window, baby, what can I say? I wouldn't want it any other way. Live and learn and a love will last. Whatever I do is 100 times better with you.
And you're very welcome along to the first in a special 6-part series called Married to My Best Friend. It takes more than luck to make it last. This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland and is a special presentation of family.ie. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ronan Johnston. Here to provide an overview of our series, the Chief Executive of Focus on the Family Ireland, Stephen Cardy.
Thanks, Ronan. We've probably all seen similar statistics in Ireland. The divorce rate has risen, cohabitation is increasingly a preferred option, and the ages in which people are getting married has increased. However, despite much of the bad press, recent research compiled by Margaret Fine Davis of Trinity College indicates that marriage is still an aspiration for a large majority of the Irish population. And when people do marry, they want to make a success of it. But many people are often unprepared for many of the challenges along the way. As you may very well know, when individuals come together, ideas, expectations, families, and cultures sometimes collide. Throughout this series, we'll meet a wide variety of individuals and couples who will tell their stories, from those who are still looking forward to their wedding day to those who tied the knot decades ago. We'll hear from some who married across denominations and cultures, and joining us along the way, some marriage counsellors and other professionals who'll help us examine various aspects of married life in Ireland today. So we hope you'll stay with us as we hear some of the trials and triumphs. We'll think about how to avoid some of the common pitfalls and attentions, and overall, we hope you'll find hope that your marriage can indeed go the distance.
Thanks, Stephen. Anne-Marie Miles introduces us now to 4 couples who are preparing for marriage. Here on today's family.ie edition of Married to My Best Friend, it takes more than luck to make it last.
I'm Wendy Grace and I am from Killiney but live in Cabinteely at the moment.
And I'm Carl Malady, I'm from Greystones in Wicklow.
It's actually, we're going to be getting married 6 weeks from today. No, 7 weeks
seven
from today.
Weeks. You're seven. The one that's meant to know.
No, we're getting, say that again. We're going to be getting married 7 weeks from today.
We were dating for about 18 months, I think.
But we knew each other for a good few years. We were friends for a few years beforehand, but...
My name's Graham Kenny. I'm from Dublin and I moved to Cork 9 years ago.
My name is Simona Croighi and I'm from Switzerland and I moved to Cork last year.
We were dating a year and a half before we got engaged. It's 2.5 weeks till we get married. How we met was my wife passed away 3 years ago. And I suppose afterwards I was just basically looking for just to meet someone, not necessarily go out with someone again.
I knew that he was a widower. I knew he had kids. I knew he was a good father. And that was really important for me. So... I never thought it would work out the way it did, and I'm happy we went there.
Me too.
Good.
My name's Kieran Egan, I'm from Glenmire.
My name's Cynthia McCarthy, and I'm from Ballyfihan.
Oh, we just got engaged, yeah, it was 3 weeks ago. We had done a Google Mara.
We were dating for 5 years before we got engaged.
Just for funding and stuff, it'd probably be about 2 years before we actually get to the big day, you know, but the thing that would make us prolong getting married is the fact that it's so hard to get a mortgage these days. If we had the chance to get a mortgage, we'd prefer to get a mortgage first before we get married, because the chance might come along again, you know. It's just the recession times, like, it's just very hard to get one.
Oh, my name is Temba Lunga. I'm from Zimbabwe.
My name is Sharon Malupande and I'm from Zambia. We met each other at church in Limerick. I just broke up from my relationship and he just broke up at the same time. So, and then a few months, that's how we met.
Probably another 6 months from now, yeah. We are still planning on it, yeah. We haven't set a date.
So in deciding to get married, have you had to make any compromises to your lifestyle? And if you have, what do you think are the biggest so far?
The biggest is generally money.
But then other things like, I don't know how you spend your time, because you have to split your time between obviously each other, work, friends, and then things around the house.
I was a bit scared and afraid that my family, no one wanted to marry my family. So, but we are mature enough to see ourselves first and then deal with family. You know, there's always one person that's not so easy to deal with in each family, but we are aware of that and we decided to be with us in the first place with each other, and we can deal with the rest together.
We had to write down a big list and set a budget, you know, cut out what we don't need and kind of stuff that we, day-to-day basics that we do need, you know. So any luxuries are kind of gone out the window for the moment, yeah. Because it's an important day, like, so we have to make sacrifices for important days, you know. So
I think the only difference is the language. But in terms of food and the way we see things, it's very similar, because Zimbabwe and Zambia used to be one country at one time and then it was divided. The only thing that I find, you know, that is just the language, you know, and that we just have to use English. And then the rest, I haven't seen any much difference, because the games we used to play when we were young is still the same as, you know, the thing, the songs still the same. So there's not much difference. I don't know about him.
No, it's true. There isn't much difference. Okay. It's just the language.
So what do you think will be some of the biggest challenges to deal with once you are married?
Wendy can't iron.
I can't iron. That's going to be tough. Terrible. And I really don't have to learn. I think the biggest challenges are probably going to be, I don't know. I would imagine a big challenge would be if we're blessed enough to have children. But even when we were doing our marriage prep and we discussed all the different, just through other people's life experiences, yeah, the ups and downs, we kind of walked away from it going, do you know what? I can't imagine a life, a marriage like across our lifetime without the support of each other, but also the support of us sharing our faith. Because you kind of, you left there leaving going, whoa, like, this life together is going to be exciting, there'll be challenges, but I think we can do it without God.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest challenge, which kind of epitomizes marriage, is you are responsible for looking after this person's heart, you know, and for looking after each other.
Over in Switzerland, they're so strict on time, they're so disciplined, whereas the Irish are just like, yeah. I suppose we're just trying to find a common ground between the two of us. There's a few little small things like that as well.
It's a very easygoing culture. I love it. The only thing is that sometimes I don't know where I stand with the Irish, because they're so, so friendly. And I don't know, you know, sometimes is that really true or not? So I have to trust Graham, because he was raised in this culture. So he knows, you know, how things were meant. So he has to translate for me sometimes.
Not having people around us to do things for us or help us out, you know, and if there's ever conflicts, like if they kind of sort it out between ourselves rather than looking for outside help, you know. I suppose agreeing on stuff, you know, like
saving where the money is going to go.
Yeah, and about, like, appropriate time to have kids and like, is there appropriate funding there for kids? I don't know, it's a sad thing to say, but there's no point in having kids if you can't afford them, you know. Yeah, just day-to-day basics, like, can we afford to do this luxury and whatnot, or the bills are more important and stuff, you know. Just trying to keep conflict to a minimum and stuff, you know.
Get a house first.
Oh, that's the main aspect, is try get out on our own. Like, we're only young, like, we'd love to get it all done young so we can relax when we're into our 40s, 50s, you know, rather than starting late in life.
I believe, like, for everything, you need to have a strong foundation. Like, for us, our Christianity, our ministries as well, I know there are storms in life, whatever storm we'll face, it will always come back to this being our foundation, that was what is going to hold us strong together.
I think the foundation is true, that the fact that we have not even stayed together is a very huge foundation. And the fact that we are friends now, And I think that's really going to help us in our marriage, you know, because in society now it's, you have to sleep with somebody then, you know, that. But we're going to do that afterwards, you see. So I think that is really going to help us. And the fact that we love God as well, we know that, you know, there are challenges in life. You always have to, you go through certain challenges, but we know our focus is that God brought us together for a reason and that we love each other. So all those are going to help us in building our marriage strong.
Thanks to those four couples who will soon be tying the knot. This is family.ie. It's been said many times that love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. We need to take a quick break right now, but when we continue, we'll hear from three couples who walked the aisle in the past 10 years. They'll share some of the eye-openers they faced. They'll also think about ways they might have been better equipped to face some of the challenges. So stay tuned. There's much more to come here on this first family.ie episode of Married to My Best Friend. It takes more than luck to make it last. This is family.ie. If you've been through it, you know that often the planning and preparation leading up to your wedding seems to take forever, but people often say that time seems to fly by so much faster when you're married. Before the break, we heard from several couples still anticipating the big day. In episode 3 of our series, we'll concentrate specifically on cross-cultural marriages. Now though, let's hear from three Irish couples who tied the knot within the past 10 years. So tell us, who are you, where are you from, and what have been some of the biggest challenges you've faced in your married life so far?
My name is Ken Brennan, born and raised in County Cork.
And my name is Rachel Brennan, and I'm from Mahon in Cork.
Yeah, we're married just over a year. I just remember being introduced to Rachel. I still remember the date, actually, the 19th of December 2010. While it wasn't kind of the immediate love at first sight, I was definitely very taken with her and very interested. And we became friends on Facebook, so I kind of came at it in a kind of a roundabout way. We just met up for a coffee one day, and actually just a few weeks later, and it just all happened from there, really, you know?
There's another part of the story as well. When we met in church, I got the feeling that Ken didn't even look at me. So I was a bit put out because my mom had told me about him and she was, you know, singing his praises. So when he actually asked me to go for a coffee, I nearly didn't go because I was kind of unsure of how he felt, but I did. I remember coming home and I was beaming and I said to my mom, I think I've met my best friend.
Right in the very early days when we were dating at first, she developed a problem with just chronic migraine. The situation became a little bit more intense with having to look after her. One thing that did really kind of change after we were married was just becoming aware of my own selfish tendencies, and in terms of like I had to stop planning ahead for free time or to stop kind of like maybe desiring time on my own because she needed my help and I wanted to be there for her more than I wanted to spend time in front of an Xbox or something like that. We've always sought God's guidance through this time, and there have been hard times, but even in that suffering that she is carrying, and it's hard on both of us, there has been some wonderful changes in that, and it has given us deep roots. But I don't see how our relationship would have lasted without God's help.
Yeah, I think from the start, like how we chose to react to it and how our attitude towards it would be, you know, we chose to kind of have a positive attitude towards things even though they were hard, and just to continue to lean on God. And I think that really helped as well, just making sure we didn't kind of wallow and get very down. And
yeah, that's kind of part of what the renewing of your mind is, really, isn't it? You know, like Paul says in Philippians, choosing to think about the excellent and good and noble and worthy things, you know. Sometimes you got to make the choice to do it, and it isn't kind of Pollyanna stuff. It's This is applying the Word of God to your life in a way that actually makes a real and lasting difference.
My name is Ronan Dennehy and I'm from Cork.
My name is Lorna Dennehy and I'm from West Cork.
We're married almost 5 years.
We met about, I'd say about 7 years ago. I was renting a house and one of the housemates left and a new one moved in and turned out to be the man beside me.
For me, I suppose I saw attributes in Lorna that I hadn't seen before in somebody. There was a joy about her and a peace that I hadn't in my life. she very much wasn't, you know, your typical girl going out boozing at weekends or whatever. She was something different about her. I knew that, yeah, this is a woman I could see myself spending the rest of my life with. But obviously I could never make that aware to my future wife straight away.
In my mind, there was no way, because we were very different and he was different in what I was looking for in a future husband. I didn't even contemplate it.
I knew it had to be a friendship thing. And if it wasn't a friendship at the beginning, that there's no way that this relationship could ever last or have any substance to it. And I actually came out of a 5-year relationship. So the last thing I wanted to do was actually to have another relationship. So I was quite happy just to have a friendship only at the start.
I think it was probably after he became a Christian, the easiness that we communicated, that we did things together, how time flew in each other's presence, how we looked forward to going home in the evening. And I was kind of hoping he'd be there so we could have a chat. And then when I saw him just totally in love with the Lord, I became even more in love with him as well. Truthfully, I think the fact that we were friends, such good friends, and our friends became friends and our families met even before we ever dating, I have to say there was nothing majorly that surprised me, which isn't, I know, the way for a lot of people, but for us, it just seems so natural.
I think what you do come across is just the small things. For us anyway, it's the small little things of our character that can irk each one another. So we know the weaknesses, things that just kind of get up our nose and stuff. So we try not to go to those places too many often, you know, to annoy one another and to be snappy with one another and just being careful with our words, really.
I think for us, I think the challenges we have to face is complacency. It's not to take each other for granted, because we get on and because we can sit and not talk for an hour in comfort. We have to be wise as well, that to not take the other person for granted, you know, not to just go about your daily business and forget to show love to this other person, you know. So I think that's been, and as years have gone on, I can see how that can happen more and more. So I think I'm aware of that. So we just need to keep the marriage alive, really.
Stephen Lane, and originally from Bandon.
Siobhan Lane, and I'm from Killarney.
We've been married 9 years. Well, I was sitting at the back of the church and Siobhan came in late, which
which is what attracted him.
Something about her that hasn't changed, but I wasn't too alarmed at that stage. She kind of shuffled in a couple of rows ahead and she kind of caught my eye, and I thought, wow, I like her hair. I like what she's wearing. That was
very
the initial
deep
attraction.
Stephen's sense of humour and how he kind of lit up a room. He had everybody laughing and everybody smiled when they were on Stephen, and me included. And I liked the feeling. Now, what he looked like was nice too, but it was more about...
That's the first time she's admitted that.
It wasn't a moment for me that this is definitely the one, but it was more of a, I can trust this and I need to give him the chance to prove himself. He's not the same as the last person or people I have gone out with, and I need to give him the chance.
I'm still on probation. About a year and a half before we got engaged?
August, September, October, a year and 3 months.
A year and 3 months. So it wasn't long after, the following year, basically.
Yeah.
So it was a short enough engagement.
I was given out to in the wedding shop, because I went shopping for the wedding dress and they thought it was the following April. I was like, no, this coming April. Well, I think that people said to us that the first year would be difficult and that we would find things hard to get used to and to be prepared for it, which was nice of people to say, to prepare you. But it didn't happen for us. We didn't have that first difficult year. Maybe because we were prepared for it, then we let things go. I don't know. Or maybe we were more compatible than we thought. I really don't know. But that wasn't one of the things for us. Mm. I think it was children.
Yeah, that was when there's an extra bit of cargo on board, then it's better to know in advance where the pressure points, so that you can prepare for those, maybe, you know, when you have the time and space to actually think it out.
So you're tired.
Yeah.
And it's not just that you have this little extra person. It's this little extra person has demanded your sleep and your energy and your time. And so you're not as patient with each other as you might be at other times. It comes back again. But those first few years, even when you're starting your family, you are at a level of sleeplessness that isn't there later, hopefully.
It does show up, I think, character flaws in yourself that nothing else reveals. And maybe the temptation is to think that those character flaws in yourself might be not as exposed with somebody else, but that's not the case. You got to deal with those things as they come up, and it's not the other person's fault some of the time.
But is Siobhan laughing with you or at you? This is family.ie and episode one of our six-part series called Married to My Best Friend. It takes more than luck to make it last. Coming up after this quick break, Stephen Cardy welcomes the chairman of Alpha Marriage Ireland. He'll share some real-life stories that hopefully will help you avoid some of the common pitfalls in marriage. There's some great information for you no matter where you are in the journey, but if the wedding day is still ahead of you, you'll definitely want to stay tuned. In the meantime, you'll find more information about how to prepare for a great wedding day and an even better life after at family.ie. Again, that's www.family.ie. Welcome once again to family.ie. More now of episode one in our series titled Married to My Best Friend. It takes more than luck to make it last. So far, we've heard from a number of couples. Some are still preparing to say I do, and the others exchanged their vows in the past 10 years. Let's think more about how to most effectively prepare for the wedding day and beyond. Stephen Cardy welcomes the representative of Relationship Central Ireland as well as Alpha Marriage Ireland, Alan Morris.
Have you been involved, Alan, in helping couples prepare for marriage over the last number of years? And if so, how?
Oh, through many, many years, I've had many, many couples come to our home, and we've done it in churches and places like that, in trying to get people to prepare for marriage and just looking at the different dynamics in the start of their journey together. And it's an exciting time when you've got that puppy love of excitement and looking forward to the beginning of your journeys together, and how we can help and support that, and how we can help you recognise the challenges of that and the growth times in your times together. It's much easier to discuss things before you get married.
When you say we, I presume yourself, you're referring to yourself and your wife, Diane?
The royal we, yeah. No, myself and Diane, my wife. And, you know, we've been married 25 years, and I often say I'm on my 15th wife, all of them Diane, and how I've changed and she's changed through that time of life. And we want marriages to last a lifetime, and the challenges of that and the statistics are decreasing on marriages lasting a lifetime. I think I just saw a statistic there of something like 50-something percent of marriages only last a lifetime in the States. But marriage is great, and marriage is proven that is the best way to be for your health, for your well-being, to be married to someone that you love and feel connected to that person.
In the marriage preparation process, Alan, presumably you have a structured approach, and it's not sort of just come along and we'll chat away for an hour or two.
Yes, we use the marriage course through Alpha and through relationshipcentral.org, and it's basically a 5-week course, and we separate it into 5 separate weeks because we like the couples to chat about things between each of the sessions. We deal in the first one is in conflict, the value of marriage and preparing, learning to communicate, talking effectively, listening effectively. You know, sometimes listening can be the hardest thing for all of us, to listen and listen. And when people feel understood by being listened to, they feel loved. That's the first one. Then the session two is about commitment. Why get married? What about this marriage covenant? What does covenant mean? Time together. And the changes in loyalty, you're leaving and cleaving. You're actually becoming your own unit together as you become married, and how that works and what way does that work. That's in session two. And then session three, resolving conflict. I often say conflict is an opportunity of growth. And how do we deal with conflict? Like when you're getting, before you're getting married, you feel, I'll never have an argument. We're going to be in this utopia of perfection. And, you know, differences come along and challenges come along and pressures come along and how we deal with conflict, how we deal with our anger when we're annoyed. And my wife, Diane, she annoys me an awful lot sometimes and I annoy her. And how do we deal with that? How do we move through it and the challenges of that? And accepting our differences. You know, how do we accept our differences? And how do you deal with finances as well and the pressures? And, you know, if you're in negative equity in your house, and how do we face that together? I love the analogy of actually how when we have problems to actually put them out there and shoulder to shoulder, face them together. And when we face things together, it's much easier. But when it becomes between us, it becomes much, much harder. And then forgiving each other. Like I spend my time forgiving Diane, and Diane spends her time forgiving me because I make mistakes and she makes mistakes. And how we deal with forgiveness and letting things go and things. I love the thing of unforgiveness is a little bit like swallowing poison and expecting someone else to die. It doesn't necessarily mean that what they did was right, but just forgiving them. And then session four, keeping love alive, developing friendships, discovering each other's needs, building our sexual relationship. And sex is a beautiful thing and it's all part of the ingredients of marriage and it's a special thing within marriage. And then session five is shared goals and values, matching our strides. I often talk about the three-legged race of life and our marriage is a little bit like the three-legged race. And sometimes we can be in rhythm like the three-legged race and we're walking well and doing well and coming along and then start getting out of rhythm and then we start chafing at our ankles. And in life it can be like that. We actually have to kind of get back into rhythm again with each other, matching our strides, working out our values, creating an equal partnership, building spiritually together and things like that. So those are the kind of five sessions. I think when you asked me, Stephen, about all this, what would be something that I'd really say, I think expectations. What are our expectations from this marriage? And, you know, having, you know, knowing what those expectations are and having been in tune with those expectations before we get married and understanding those things is something maybe people need to look at.
I'm sure you have some experience maybe where people, you know, where they didn't prepare well.
Yeah, just, you know, if you're getting married, put everything out on the table. Maybe put out, if you've been living and had other partners before, you need to put it out there and discuss it so that you actually, there's nothing held back in all that. And we also, in the past, can have raw spots, hurts, unmet needs, disconnection from people in the past. And as a couple coming into a married relationship, we need to talk about some of those hurts so that the other person can understand that these are sore spots, if you like. Raw spots are like a rub of a wound that we've had in the past. And how and why do some people overreact in situations? And if this is a no-go area, that's a hard thing for a relationship. And how do we talk about those things so that we can understand each other in them?
I mean, would it be fair to say, Alan, that very often in the romance stage of the relationship, maybe before they're married, couples might be slowly reluctant to actually disclose those raw points, or they might not even be aware that they're there until they materialise sometimes during the course of the marriage?
Yeah, it is hard. You can't know totally everything about the other person before you get married. There's no way. But, you know, sometimes maybe it's not a bad thing to have had an argument before you got married. So you know how you deal with these arguments. That sounds funny, but, you know, how do we deal with these arguments? Like, the thing is, in the back of our book that we use is, Are You Ready for Marriage? And then it looks at the share test. Do I want to share the rest of my life with my fiancé? Right? The character test. Do I regard my fiancé as being kind? The strength test. Does our love give me energy and strength, or does it drain me? The respect test. Do I respect my fiancé? The habit test. Do I accept my fiancé as they are now, bad habits and all? The quarrel test. Are we able to admit our mistakes, apologise and forgive each other? The interest test. Do we have interests in common as a foundation for our relationship? The time test. Have we weathered all the seasons in a variety of situations together? And, you know, these are kind of tests that kind of you have to think through. You know, this is if the person that you love now doesn't change in any way, are you going to be happy with that? I remember one person that got married and her husband-to-be smoked like a trooper and didn't sleep at very irregularly. And she went into that marriage hoping to change all that. And it didn't happen. And they're divorced. And like, we have to recognize that things may not change. And how can you accept that? Did that person have too high expectations that she was going to influence him in a totally different direction? And then even if he did change partially, is that going to be good enough anyway? Accepting and being okay with where things are now and loving them unconditionally in all my faults, your faults, our faults, through that dialogue, through the challenges, through life. It's a beautiful thing to go through the ups and downs of life together. There will be down times, there will be up times. Sometimes our valley, our top mountaintop experiences are fantastic, birth of our children, all these other things and other things. But sometimes it's in the valleys and in the tougher times that maybe our relationship grows the most. And it can be challenging, but facing into it, loving the other person, being steady through it, and we can be stronger in our relationship if we do work hard at it. I've often said, in today's world, we have so much things to offer people. There's so much out there. The world's a smaller place because we can do anything nearly. And in all that, there's a negative thing to all that, in that we chop and change. We try this thing, it doesn't work out, we do this thing. Fast food, all these sort of things that race through life. But in relationships, it's only sometimes through hard times, through working in our relationship with other, that we go deeper in our relationship with other people. And in marriage, that's very much the same. You will go through tough times in your marriage. How do you face those times? How do you face into them and work at your relationship so that you can go down deeper, the lower layers of your relationship, that is into the core of that love of that person has for you and you have for them? And that's a challenge. It's not easy. Marriage is not easy, but it is fantastic. It is of great benefit. And like a lot of things in life, the hard things are usually the things that are the best, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, as I say, we wing it when it comes to marriage. We do our apprenticeships, we do our studies and things like that. But when it comes to marriage, we just wing it and we react. And I'd love people to be more intentional in how they work with their marriage. Do a marriage course, NCT it, as I say, or service it regularly as you go through life. After doing a preparation course, maybe in about 3 years' time after that, go and do a marriage course so that your marriage will run better, you'll deal with things better. And it's funny, the harder you work at your marriage, the better it gets.
Alan, given your experience of preparing people for marriage and working with people who are already married and maybe some of those same people who prepared with you, has the preparation really made a difference for them, looking with hindsight now?
Yes, there was a case where one couple there a while back there did a course down the country and they decided not to get married. And I know that was a hard thing, but they decided not to get married. But there's other people that have done the marriage course, and it's really opened up that dialogue. That's when they go on our marriage course, it opens up the dialogue of discussion, and then you see a little bit more of the person, and then you understand a bit more, and you understand why they do things the way they do, and then you get into that sync with each other.
And I suppose none of us needs to be told what a marriage looks like when the partners are out of sync. This is family.ie and episode 1 in our 6-part series called Married to My Best Friend. It takes more than luck to make it last. Stay tuned after our final break today as we welcome another couple who's going the distance. They provide marriage counselling on a regular basis and they'll share some of the horror stories they've seen in the course of wedding preparation, as well as how to avoid having a horror story of your own. Welcome to the final segment of today's edition of Family.ie. So far we've been introduced to quite a range of people, some who are still preparing for their wedding day, some who walked down the aisle in the past decade, and before the break with Alan Morris, who along with his wife Diane, helps prepare couples for marriage on a regular basis. But now Stephen, let's hear from another couple who've been married longer than all of the couples we've heard from so far combined.
Well, I'm here with Peter and Fiona Parham. And they're going to be one of our key advisors in the course of these programmes. So would you like to introduce yourselves, Peter and Fiona, please?
Well, we've been married for 4 to 6 years now. Seems a long time, but still feel young in our marriage. We have 5 children who are all married, one in Australia. And we have 15 grandchildren. So we have a very full life, family life.
So you've quite a lot of experience there.
We have a lot of experience to draw on just from our own direct family involvements in terms of the more specific thing of helping people in the marriage area. We got involved in that after about 6 or 7 years marriage, mainly because we felt we needed some input and help with our own marriage.
And had you done any pre-marriage preparation?
We had done some
pre-marriage. We did a pre-marriage course. It was a 7-week course. In those days, all the pre-marriage courses were 7 weeks. And there was a talk there was a priest there. And then there was a talk by a doctor and somebody who's like to do with domestic economy kind of thing, telling him what to do in the kitchen. And
that was part of the requirement of the church to get married,
wasn't
it? Yes, it's still is.
It still is generally, it's not an absolute requirement, but it's generally what most people are encouraged.
But we'd no input at all about communication. We were told how to unwrap your chicken and how to put it into a Pyrex dish and what part of the fridge you should put it into. But and I still do that religiously because that was ingrained in my brain. And the doctor came on the night of the talk on sexuality, and he took the women into one room and the men into the other room, and he talked to us about what's going to happen on your wedding night and drew pictures. And then said, go off now and get married. And so we didn't know how to talk to each other. We didn't know how to do anything together, really. Mm-hmm. And so it was a case of, get on with it.
I think in retrospect, we could have saved ourselves a lot of anguish and pain and disillusionment had we learned how to communicate better and how to be in touch with each other at that emotional level. Because the sexual side of marriage doesn't work if you're not really in touch with each other at the emotional level.
Yes.
You're become strangers to each other.
Mm.
And that's something we had to learn gradually. We had to actually work at it. It seemed artificial at first, but the more we did it, the more we've had the romance and the joy came back.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how can you love somebody you don't know? And if I don't know how Fina's feeling, or I don't know what her emotional needs are, I don't really know who she is.
Yes.
And how can you love somebody that you don't know?
Just advice for couples who are, they've decided to get married, so they're planning for the wedding. Huge focus on the day and the big theatre of the event. But what about the journey to that day and what happens, say, not so much on the wedding night, because that can often be a failure, but what happens in the weeks or months that follow?
Yeah, well, the wedding can take over huge focus, and it can go on for months. Planning and getting this and flowers and music and then the mother-in-law kicks up a fuss, or the sister doesn't want to wear the dress or whatever, and there's all hoo-ha and people are hurt and stuff, and it can actually take over your whole life.
Yes.
So your whole life, and especially for the guy who's a little bit on the outside of that, he kind of gets, oh Lord above, not more stuff and things. And so a couple can often even get disconnected planning their wedding because, they're into different things. And but the wedding day then can be this. I know one mother recently, and her daughter got married, and she said she was so tense on her wedding day. She was tense about the fact that there was going to be children there, and they might make noise, and the music wouldn't be right, and she was tense about it. And so she said she could see the whole day she's been tense. She couldn't enjoy it.
Yes.
But her son got married. He was much more laid back about it, and they got married in a much more relaxed kind of way, and they weren't having any special anything. And she said it was a lovely, lovely day, lovely warm feelings. Everybody was, So you can put so much pressure on yourself for your wedding day. And then, as some people say, I spent 5 hours looking for a pair of shoes for my wedding day, and I spent like a half an hour doing a pre-marriage course, a 2 hour afternoon one or something.
Yes.
And you think, well, okay. And we did used to do the marriage fair, the wedding fair, and we'd be there in our little booth saying, people saying, would you like to come and see the flowers and the beautiful cars and everything? We'd say, would you like to do a pre-marriage course? And they'd be going, yeah. They'd come along and say, have you nothing shorter than a Friday night and a Saturday?
Yes.
And Peter said to one couple one time, how long do you want your marriage to last?
Yes.
They wanted something for a couple of hours, which is crazy. I mean, who would undertake any other major project in life without preparing for it?
And this would be the biggest investment you'll ever make.
One of the key bits of advice I would say is for the couple, and we say this to any couples who are preparing for marriage, is that make sure that you're both clear about the decision to be married, because it's very easy for the girl to want the wedding, maybe, and not really to discuss, do we both want to be married? Because if they're not agreed on that, they're sort of standing in quicksand. Whereas if they both say, no, we believe in marriage as a lifelong commitment, and we're both making this commitment, then you're standing on a rock. So even if things go a bit pear-shaped, you can go back and say, no, hang on a minute, this is not what we committed ourselves to, and you can sort it out.
Yes.
But if one of you is saying, oh, well, I didn't really want to be, I'm not sure I wanted to be married, well, I mean, where do you go from there, So I think that's why a bit of marriage preparation means that they will have a chance to discuss those sort of questions.
Mm.
Discuss, do you want family? How big a family? Because they're not things to have, say, but I thought we were going to have children. No, I never agreed to that.
Yes, I've heard of it.
That's not the time to...
Yes, I've heard recently of a couple who, after they were married, discovered that one of the partners didn't want children.
Yes.
And that was unknown to the other one. I mean, you sort of think...
Yeah,
I know.
And of course, I mean, that's a huge problem for certainly for a Catholic, because it invalidates the marriage, because it's, it's seen as part of the vows that you exchange.
Yeah.
But I mean, even at a human level, there are things that you really need to sit down and talk about, and about
about your careers. Is your career going to be the top priority, or is your relationship, you know, because you don't want to find a few years down the road that you're married to somebody and basically their career is
what really matters,
drives them, and that you're second place and you're sort of fighting for scraps of something. So
also there's a settling down period just after you're married, and I think that, you know, people would probably even know that themselves. I know one of our sons got married and he nearly gave his wife a black eye because he just lay in bed and stretched his arms out like he normally did. He forgot she was there because he wasn't used to having her there, and she was
clobbered.
Yeah. And so there's funny things, and you know leaving the towels on the floor after your shower and not, you know, leaving the toilet seat up and squeezing the toothpaste in the middle and all those things, that those disillusionments that you get. Really untidy person. You might be a collector, and you might bring, one of our daughters collected frogs from the time she was young, so she got married, she brought all her frogs with her. So her poor husband had these green things looking over cupboards and all over bathrooms and things. Eventually, when she had children, they all got a bit done away with.
Yes.
But I know there's a settling down period.
Toys.
Yes, exactly. They've flung them in.
I'd also say to them, get to know each other's families, because you don't really know somebody if you don't know their family.
Yeah.
And whether you like it or not, when you marry somebody, you don't exactly marry their family, but they're an important part of the mix. Culture. And if there's serious tensions there, that is going to affect you. So at least you need to do that with your eyes open.
Yes.
And also, when you come back and you're adjusting to being newly married, it's very easy to become married singles, because you're both probably still working, so you're coming and going. And, well, I always play sport on a Wednesday night. Well, I always meet the lads on a Friday night. And you get back into your own little routine.
Yes.
And so you kind of get disconnected in that way, because you're not really, and then you're sort of saying, oh God, no. And then the friends will say, the ball and chain is asking you where you're going tonight.
Yes.
And all this sort of thing.
That can be resolved by people just, as I said, taking the time to talk to each other about these things. And you won't probably do that unless you do some sort of preparation course where you're sort of, those questions are put to you. Say, look, some people talk about it, their own experience. Now you sit down and discuss that together. And at least then you cover the territory, so there'll be where you're both at with things and what you're committing yourself to.
It's very often at that stage of early marriage too, that, you know, you come back and everything goes back to normal, you go back to work and things, that it's not what you say, but the way you say it to each other that causes hassle. So, it, you know, begins, well, you said such and such and I said something. It's the way you express yourself to the other person, because you're kind of needy and you want them to be the same as they were, and yet you're back in the routine now and things, and all the bills are probably coming in from the wedding and and stuff. And so it's learning how to be a little bit more vulnerable and caring, I suppose. Loving care really is very important. To say, okay, this is the person I love, and so I'll think before I speak, you know, and won't always react, and you know, try and we have to work on ourselves as the other person.
Stephen's asking about the months that follow. I think the months that follow are crucial. It's a period of adjustment. So I think you have to be a bit patient and forgiving, maybe, and recognize that nobody is perfect. You know, you're going to have to be generous and a bit tolerant.
Generosity and tolerance. Those may be fighting words. You've been listening to Family.ie, and that was episode 1 in our 6-part radio series, Married to My Best Friend, It Takes More Than Luck to Make It Last. For copies of this audio series and many others, free to listen to or download for later, we hope you'll head over to Family.ie. You'll also find many helpful links and resources for every member of your family. If you can't find what you're looking for, contact us. We're honoured to help in any way we can. Again, that's family.ie. And tune in next time as we examine more keys to a great marriage and a great life together.
When you're on your oxytocin buzz stage of the relationship, you cannot see negative traits. I mean, they say it lasts between 18 months and 2 years. And after that, you're down to the power struggle. You're down to, you notice things then.
Yeah.
The things you didn't notice before, you begin to notice.
Mm.
You know, little irritations annoy you, where before you might have thought they're actually quite cute. You know?
Yes. We were exhausted now. We were doing this course week in, week out. And I came out and I was conscience stricken one night, and I said to Mary, do you remember the communication marking? She said, yeah. I said, I only gave you 6 out of 10. To which she turned and said, I only gave you 2. You know.
The whole society has changed an awful lot in the last 15, 20 years. How is the preparation for marriage different?
different or significantly different?
Well, people don't come for a seven-week course anymore, for starters. They wouldn't give that commitment.
In fairness to the couples, life has got so busy and hectic that often people can't have, literally haven't got the time. So that has been a big change. It's clear that more couples are living together before they get married, and therefore sometimes they don't feel the need of marriage preparation.
So we hope you'll join us next time. Until then, on behalf of Stephen Carty, Roger Bassick and Anne-Marie Miles, I'm Ronan Johnston. We'd like to sincerely thank all of the couples and contributors to today's programme, and we thank you for listening. Slán tamall. This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland and is a special presentation of family.ie, helping families thrive.